Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Cindy Starr Stewart, and we're so happy to have this time to catch up. Last time, we talked about three of your books, and I'd like to remind our readers about them. There was Our Father, and The Lamp Maker, and The Potter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Cindy, tell us a little bit about what has happened since the last time I talked to you.
Well, it has been an absolutely fascinating year. Last year, here at the NRB, we talked a little bit about the books, and my daughter Libby and her friend Erica of the Christian Girls were with you as well. And while I was here, God was really working on my heart. I spent the first day and a half that I was here crying. I just was weeping. It was like, I didn't know why, but I just had this like, I don't know. Sometimes you know that just like out of the inner spirit, you're just weeping and you don't really know why. And I just was really seeking God as I was here at the conference and the convention. And I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? These books are yours. They belong to you. I know that I'm being obedient, you know, with them in writing them and bringing them forth. And I happened to, because my girls, Libby and Erica, they got invited to go to this really cool big book signing with all the big people. And there was Ben Carson and Johnny Erickson Todd, and all these people were there. And I got invited to go along with them, which was kind of fun for them. And while I was there, I had just really decided I was just going to take it in and just pray for people. And I really wasn't, I just didn't feel like I was going to stand in line and get books signed or anything by anybody. And while I was doing that, I was walking around, and this man came up to me, and he picked up my name tag, and he said, "Who are you?" And I just looked back, and I said, "I'm nobody. I'm just here to love people and pray for people." And he said, "Well, I need that." So he said, "Well, I need that." And I said, "Okay." So just then, he started walking across the room. It was a very nice event, very, very upscale. And he walked across the room, and he sat down against the wall on the floor. So I followed him over, and I thought, well, I guess we're sitting on the floor. So I sat next to him, and I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "I moved here from Ethiopia about 8 years ago, and I'm so lonely, and I work in this industry, but I just don't know what God wants for me." And so I said, "Well, let me pray for you." And, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes when you pray for people, you just sort of, you don't really know what to say, and mm-hmm. you trust the Holy Spirit's going to guide and direct you, but you just sort of pray. And I just prayed whatever prayer I had, and I could tell God was sort of like, "Okay, well, that was nice, Cindy. You now got your words out of the way, but I have something I want to do." And God says to me, as clear as anything, he says, "I want you to hold his hand." Now, I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, Lord, why do you ask me to do crazy stuff?" You know, this young guy, he was this beautiful, beautiful black man from Ethiopia, just dressed to the nine, and, you know, very reserved and, you know, conservative. And I'm thinking, I don't want to ask him to hold my hand. But I thought, all right. I said, "Would you hold my hand?" And I stuck my hand out. And he looked at me kind of funny. But he said, "Okay." He put his hand in my hand. And when he did, in that moment, it was as if I could feel, like, I felt like I was like the cell phone charger plugged into the wall. Like, I felt like this, I could feel this power of God just flow through me right into him. And I looked over at him because it kind of took me by surprise. I had not really experienced something quite that, you know, like really, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I just felt it flow through me. And I looked at him, and I could tell immediately he felt it, because his eyes got really big and tears started running down his face. And he said, "What is that?" And I said, "That's God's love. He loves you so much." And then the Lord just filled my mouth with a word for this young man of encouragement and all those things. But as I was speaking this word to him that was really from the heart of God, my eyes kind of looked up, and here's all the people in the room signing books and getting their picture taken, standing in line. There's a buzz, you know, with all mm-hmm. the famous Christian people. And in that moment, God said to me, "Okay, Cindy, do you want to be somebody? Do you want to be one of those people? Because I'll let you. If you want to, I'll let you. Your books are in bookstores all over the country. You've obeyed me. They're ready to go. Your website's up. You know, you are ready. I will let you, but If instead you'll choose to be nobody, I will do this, and I will do it a different way, and I will allow you to connect with and do miraculous things with people all over in a whole different way. And immediately I was like, yes, yes, I picked that. And the past year has been miraculous. So some really interesting things happened after I left here. Within a week, I got a job as a sales engineer for an engineering company near Philadelphia. I didn't even know sales engineers were a job. You know, I didn't even know that was a choice. And it's amazing how God weaves together all our life experiences. I had been a physics professor before writing the books. And so I had all this technical background. It was interesting, as I was a physics professor, because I had stayed home. I have 5 children, and I was home, and I didn't get my PhD. So I was never allowed to be the full professor. I was always the adjunct. And even though I was an incredible teacher and really, really good at that, they made me be the physics professor that was in the lab, because only the full professors were allowed to teach the classes. So there I was in the lab with all this lab equipment that I had to constantly be figuring out how to make it work. You know, you get stuff off the shelf that hasn't been used. You got to, you know, you don't want to look stupid asking the other people how to make this thing work. So you have to figure it out. Well, wouldn't you know, this company that hired me, right before I had come to the NRB, just literally days, like the day before I was leaving, one of my friends had posted something on Facebook about a job. And I was really intrigued by it. They said, you know, they were looking for somebody who was creative and who had, you know, had a lot of relationships in the area and had a technical background. And so I had reached out to him, and right before I came in, he said, why would you be interested? You have these books, you have this ministry. And I said, well, I just really sense maybe God has something else. But I didn't even know what they sold. I didn't really know what they did. And then I came, I sent my resume to him as I was walking out the door. And he had said, he had got it, and he was called me while I was on the road. He said, oh, we're intrigued. Can you come and meet with us? We're going to be in your area. Can we meet with you on Tuesday night? And I said, oh, I'll still be driving home from Nashville Tuesday night. He said, well, can we meet with you Wednesday? I said, well, Wednesday I do a Bible study at noon down in my hometown, and then I work with the kids after school for the after school program. And he said, well, how about if we meet you for dinner in that town? Because that was his hometown too. So we met. So you can imagine, I just had the power of God flow through me. I just had God give me, like, I'm going to give me this word. And I go into this interview. I'm glowing. I am like, I just, you know, met with God on the mountain. And I'm in this interview with my friend Shane and his boss. Then I didn't know at the time that the boss was the owner of the company. So we sit down for dinner, and I can't stop talking about Jesus. All I can talk about is my trip and Jesus, and this is what happened, and this guy, and, you know, I cried, and then I didn't cry because God was like, be nobody, and I'm already nobody, and I'm just having this moment. And all of a sudden, about, I don't know, a little while into the dinner, I'm like, oh man, this isn't going well. I said, you know, I understand. I haven't shut up about Jesus, and I'll be honest with you, I don't even know what you sell. I didn't have any time to even look at your website. I said, but I can tell you that while I was away, God told me that if I would serve him in a different way, and I would do it for his glory, and I would seek him, he would allow me to tap into the world's resources to bless the kingdom. So I said, I don't know what you do, but I know I can do it. And I know that I feel pretty confident God's calling me to work with you. And so tell me what it is. So they're looking at me like I had 3 heads, and they proceed to tell me, you know, it's all this selling, it's sales engineer selling all this data acquisition and process and control equipment to industry, and that I would work from home in Western Pennsylvania. I'd be responsible for Western Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Ohio. I would make my own schedule and travel all around and sell this electronic equipment that looked exactly like the kind of equipment that I was in the lab with at the university. And so after the evening was kind of wrapping up, and I've given them books, and I've given them my little light bulbs that go with my lamp maker book, and they're thinking, we don't know what happened to us at this event. The owner of the company said, I'd like you to come over to Philadelphia next week. Do you think you can do this? And he kind of put his hand in front of me and kind of whirled it around. Can you do this? I said, what do you mean, do this? What's that mean? He goes, you know, this. And I said, oh. I said, well, I can't not do this. This is who I am. This is who God called me to be. And I want you to understand that if you hire me, that this is who I am, and I'm on a mission from God, and I feel like God's going to use you to pay for my gas and pay for my hotel and pay for my books even, and I'm going to go seek Him. He's going to allow me to sell lots of stuff and shine light wherever I go. And if that's not okay with you, you shouldn't hire me, because that is my mission. So I didn't know till later that the man who owns the company is not a Christian.
Oh, wow.
And he really isn't too interested in hearing about God. Mm-hmm. But he was so intrigued that he invited me to go to Newtown. I went over there. I showed up with my books and my light bulbs. And when I talked to people, they kept saying, "Now, you do know you have to work." I'm like, "Yeah, I know." They're like, "Do you, you know, you do know that this is a real full-time job?" I said, "I know." They said, "Well, what about salary?" I said, "Well, I expect you'll pay me fair." They said, "What about healthcare?" I said, "Those are just details." Well, they hired me. I started the next week, and I've spent the whole past year traveling, and it's been a miraculous, miraculous journey.
Wow. We have to take a break right here, but when we come back, we want you to continue on with this story. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
How do you ask a boy out?
I remember my first official this-is-going-to-cost-me date. There was this really neat girl who lived about 5 blocks from our house in Syracuse, New York. She was the older sibling of one of my sister's friends. I liked her because she was smart and funny, a combination I've always enjoyed in other people. I planned our date carefully and made sure I had enough money to cover it. Then I called her on the phone and said, "Hi, Mary, this is Charles. Would you like to go play miniature golf with me? We can get an ice cream afterward." "What flavor?" she asked. Together we rode our bikes to a nearby shopping center. I bought the golf tickets and we played 2 games. She beat me both times, but I didn't care. I was on a date. When you ask a boy out, make sure, 1, you've got the money to cover expenses if there are any. 2, you outline exactly where you're going and what you want to do on the date. And 3, you keep your parents or guardians informed of who, where, what, when, and how. If you play miniature golf, let the guy win once. And remember, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 13:30, NIV. Pick your dates carefully, and then have a safe and wonderful time.
Money, plan, inform. Gotcha.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Cindy Star Stewart. You can go to her website. It's all spelled out, 2 R's and star, CindyStarStewart.com.
That's right.
She's written the books, the children's books called The Potter, The Lamp Maker, and Our Father. And even the title, The Potter, we know the biblical analogy where we are the clay and our Heavenly Father is the potter. And I can't help but think that so many of us try to create ourselves.
Yes.
So you've taken what you've written, and now you've applied it in a real way.
Yeah.
You've accepted this job as a salesperson for a industry-based type of...
Yeah. It's industry. It's all men in industry. It's interesting.
So you're selling... is there technology involved? Mm-hmm. You're selling all these things. You can see now where God was preparing you.
Absolutely.
Back when you served in the physics lab at the university. So tell us about maybe that first month. What were the highlights of that first month?
Well, I'll tell you, God is so good. He is amazing. You know, what he's teaching me right now is that he doesn't want us to write the movie. And you know, sometimes we kind of project what the movie's going to be. And we try to put the dots together. And he's like, I want you to live in the moment. I want you to be today right where I want you to be. And I want you to be ready for me to use you how I have planned. You got to trust me. So one of the fun things, I've been known as the light bulb lady all over the world because I have these little light bulbs that I pass out. I've passed out thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And they're just super cute. And I had little tags that went on them that were for the Lamp Maker book that talked about basically the salvation message that we were all created to shine as light. Every person's a lamp, but we have a hole inside of us. And we try to shove everything in that hole to fill the hole. The only thing that'll fill the hole is Jesus. He's the light of the world. So I have these cute little light bulbs, and you can just kind of demonstrate, you know, Jesus goes in the hole, but then you have to take your power cord, get plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit, but then you never lose your free will, and the little light bulbs have cute little switches on them. You just push the button, and the light goes out. And so that's our free will. We have a choice to shine for him or to be selfish and live for ourselves. So I pass these out all over, and it's cost me a chunk of change, you know, but it's okay. God's like, it's your seed. Just put it out there. So the very first thing that happened was my boss, Shane, who had been my friend since we were kids, he said, you know, we really need something to pass out to our customers. You know, some people give out pens or some people give out things. I think those light bulbs are really nice. Could you order a bunch of those light bulbs for us and make tags for them for our business? So I was like, well, I sure can. So I'd done all kinds of interesting things. I had had a photography business and all kinds of stuff and had learned a lot about marketing through the books. And so I had new little tags made. And the new little tags say, we specialize in bright ideas and shedding light on even the most complex challenges, providing total measurement and control solutions, www.neilsystems.com. And so now, and on the back, it tells all the weird stuff we do, intrinsic safety and purging systems, data acquisition, SCADA systems, process valves, gas detection, weird stuff, you know? And now they're on the light bulbs. So when I go in to visit with customers in industry, in big places, small places, some are independently owned, and I go in and we talk and we find out all the things that their needs are. And when I'm done, I have a gift for you before I go, and I get out my light bulbs with the little tag on it for the business, and I give them the light bulbs. And every time, whoever I'm handing to says, oh, those are so neat. And then they fill in the blank. My grandson, my daughter, my whoever will really enjoy that. To which I then say, oh, you have kids or grandkids? Can I send a gift with you? And they say, sure. And while I'm digging to get my gift out, they say, how in the world did you get into this? You are so different than all the other people that ever have ever come to sell something to us as a sales engineer, because they're all men. They're all very, you know, very methodical, in the box, you know. And they're like, you're so different. And I say, well, I was teaching physics at Slippery Rock University, and God gave me this story of the lamp maker, and I pull out my book, and I say, I'd love to give you one, and the light bulbs go with the book. Do you mind? I'll put one of these other tags on, and I pull out my original tags, stick a tag on the light bulb, and I say, you know, what are your kids' or grandkids' names? What do they call you? And I sign the book, you know, dear so-and-so, I got to meet your pappy today, and blah, 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 and they leave with books, and they're like, wow, thank you so much. And so it's been just such an adventure. I've been some places like really far away, like from me, you know, a far trip. And they'll say, the guy, whoever I gave it to, will say, oh, I love this. My wife and I are really involved with Awana. This is something we could use there. We're involved with our Sunday school part, or my wife's the Sunday school teacher or something. And then I'll say, well, do you have Awana on Wednesday night? And they'll say, yeah, we do. And I said, well, you know what? I would love to come sometime and share with your kids at Awana. And I said, it won't cost you anything. I'll make a trip down here to this area, visit some businesses in the area, and come and speak at your Awana on Wednesday night. And they're like, you would do that? And I'm like, absolutely, I would. And so that's how God's doing it. God is just setting up divine appointments from place to place. And at the meantime, I think what he's doing for me is the whole Potter story. This year has been such a stretching year in my life, a refining year, where lots of things that have happened in our family and our personal life, just in business and whatnot, where God is like, Cindy, I need to refine you. I need to heal your wounds. I need to stretch you, and I'm going to do all of that so that you can really hear me, obey me, and trust me. In the meantime, I'm going to pour the world's resources in so you can bless the kingdom. So I just got the biggest order that my company's ever had in their entire history. The profit is huge from a huge, big, well-known company, and there's no explanation but God. And that's how God's doing it.
And that gives you a little job security.
Yeah. And it's so nice because I'm just giving the books away, which is so nice. Like when you feel like God called you to do something, sometimes you're like, I hate selling these books that God gave to me. But they're so expensive. So it's been such a fun journey.
Oh, I don't want the show to end. So we are winding down to the end of it. And I am so blessed by your testimony because God does own the cattle on a thousand hills. And if we're sitting there pining away and scrapping away, trying to just make a living and not realizing that we need to take whatever gifts God has given to us and pass them on and be open to what God would have us to do.
Absolutely. Well, you're probably out of time. I just want to tell you a real quick thing.
No, just tell me. I'm not out of time.
Okay, I want to tell you one more thing that this is just maybe encouragement for everybody who's listening, is that I really was obeying God in doing these books. I was not a writer. I have a narcolepsy and I'm allergic to dust, so books are not my friend. I read books, I fall asleep or sneeze. And so I argued with God about writing these books, and I kept telling him I couldn't do it. I didn't know how. And he just spoke them to me. People say, how did you become a good writer? I said, I don't know. I just became a good listener. But after I wrote the books and I did what God asked me to do, a year ago when I sat down to do my taxes and I added up all the money that I had spent on the books and advertising and travel and all that, and all the money that had come in, when it was all said and done, it was negative $20,000 in the red. And I had a little panic attack for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy tried to tell me, you're crazy. You should have just sat on the couch. Because if you'd sat on the couch, at least you'd be at zero. And God immediately, spoke to my heart. And he said, Cindy, remember all those Bible school lessons that you did for 10 years? You wrote your own curriculum for the church for 10 years using Jason Hauser's seed CDs. And for 10 years, we did everything you could imagine about seeds. And he said, we did that, Cindy, because you needed to understand the concept of seeds. He said, I now know that I can trust you. You obeyed me. All those light bulbs and all those books that you've given away and given away and given away are all seed. And he said, if you trust me, I will bring the harvest. Well, that was about early February that I had that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came to NRB, and then God said now.
Yeah.
And then this order that I just sold, just to give an idea, I'm brand new, but the profit from this one sale was the 2015 expected profit from 5 salesmen in my business. And I'm
praise
the new girl.
God. Praise
and there's
God.
No explanation but God.
Yes,
so
God
will do it. So be encouraged. So just trust and obey.
Amen.
And he will do it.
I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.